Back to the 1st of October 2024 Planning Commission meeting. Mr. Baker.
Okay, the next two items are two proposed urban growth area expansions. Both were proposed in some form or another earlier in the process. The proponents are still wishing to push for their inclusion. If you remember, as the process was set up, we were looking to address most of the urban growth area sizing with the preferred alternative selection in April. The purpose of that was to ensure that our final environmental impact statement captured the full suite of changes. Additionally, making changes after this point, because now that the final environmental impact statement is done and the capital facilities plan is done, when we're talking about the capital facilities plan, we're not just talking about county facilities, we're talking about all the various special purpose districts who have taken a good amount of their time out of their lives to provide us the information necessary. They would also potentially have to update. So when you're looking at the proposed changes, look at it through the, there's a potential impact on scope and schedule for these, as we are pretty much looking at about 60 days until the board is looking to make a decision on the comprehensive plan. And all environmental review has to be done before the public hearing, before the Board of County Commissioners, and that is the October 28th. So those are process-related impediments to adding things. Can't say that it cannot be done. That being said, there are significant ramifications in doing so. That leads to two urban growth area expansions, the first of which was the one proposal from the Skokomish Tribe. This is that property located there in red with the yellow star on it. The image that you see here is not the preferred alternative. It was alternative two. It was included in alternative two, though was elected to be removed for two main reasons. The first of which is it did not get a letter of support from the urban service provider. In this case, that would be the city of Bremerton. The city of Bremerton would be responsible for providing sewer, water, the other necessary amenities. And additionally, in the comprehensive plan, our commercial areas are really intended to be working towards being walkable. This is located on the exterior of the county, located away from most current development, not walkable in any way. Additionally, this property has a Bureau of Indian Affairs application looking to go into a federal Indian land designation. If that were to occur, it does not necessarily matter what the county code says. Once you are in that designation, they are able to operate as a sovereign entity. Subsequent to the April decision that the commercial proposal was not to be included in the preferred alternative, they have revised their request to industrial. Again, that is a little more consistent with the land around the outside of it. However, that zoning would not really carry much weight if it were to go into BIA land, as that would give them the ability to do as they are seeking. As you'll note, staff is not recommending inclusion of this in the urban growth area boundary. We are not in opposition in any way to their BIA proposal, but it is a separate federal process that does not necessarily include the county. The county has to look at it through the Growth Management Act, and the Growth Management Act really looks at limiting urban growth area expansions and ensuring that if you are going to expand an urban growth area that you are in close concert with the urban service provider. Any other questions about the Skokomish Tribe's proposal? So again, they are now currently asking for industrial, which would be light blue, like the property to the north of it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but we had pretty much taken all the requests for reclassification and said that will be considered in 2025.
The rural to rural changes, so if you're looking at going from rural protection to rural residential, or rural wooded to rural residential, all of those were moved to 2025. Urban growth area expansions are not necessarily They could be included in 2025, but that was not the recommendation of the Planning Commission in April and not the direction of the board in April. But again, these can be considered annually. The Board of County Commissioners is available to update its urban growth area boundaries, zoning, etc. on an annual basis. Whether urban growth area expansions would be considered in 2025 by the board, currently that's not part of the plan. Which leads us to the second request made by Mr. Goldberg. This is a property that is adjacent to both the city of Bremerton and the city of Port Orchard. City of Bremerton is, I don't think you're going to be able to see it, is the property to the east. The city of Port Orchard is the property to the south. Both of these are in the McCormick North area where a lot of the development is occurring. This property originally was requested to be urban low, which again was single family residential development. The Planning Commission recommended the removal of most UGA expansions that included this designation due to the fact that we were not looking to increase our single-family detached housing stock substantially beyond what our current UGA has allowed over the next 20 years. Subsequently, that request has been amended to urban medium with a concept that the developer would work towards producing smaller housing, attached housing at a lower rate. Again, all of those are exactly what we're looking for. However, it is not something that zoning alone would require. Once you make something a particular zone, it can be anything that's allowed in that zone. Oftentimes what occurs is you can negotiate a developer's agreement to go along with it. Anyone who was doing the Dickey Pit rezone a few years back, that carried with it a rezone that also had a development agreement where there were a certain amount of affordable housing being provided. Developers agreements are excellent opportunities to be able to create a particular outcome with the zoning, but does require additional time for negotiation, etc. Additionally, the urban medium zoning was not included in either the preferred alternative or the draft environmental impact statement. It is a higher level of intensity than urban low, which means it would generate more trips, more impervious surface, etc. So the necessary additional environmental review for this proposal to be able to be in the 24 approval would be even more significant. And again, with 60 days to go, less than 30 before the environmental review needs to be completed, it could not be done without adjusting our schedule. However, this, again, is the type of proposal that we are looking for. It is supported by the city of Port Orchard. City of Bremerton did not opine on its inclusion. It is located near existing infrastructure, roadway, etc. It is a good opportunity for future conversation, but we are not recommending it be included in 2024.
Commissioner Shattuck.
Eric, could this be one of the parcels that you look at specifically, say, in 2025 and say, hey, let's go ahead and give it a UGA status so they can annex into Port Orchard? Wouldn't that be in that way, there's no penalty to the county. They get to build the housing that would be helpful to our housing stock, and everybody wins. Would that be an option?
It definitely would be an option to include it inside the urban growth area boundary as urban medium. That would have to be a conversation whether we would still need a developer's agreement in case annexation didn't occur. That's something another thing the county doesn't control, which is lovely when you're trying to plan for an area. But no, that could be a potential outcome, but not one the county could dictate with any of its actions.
Is there a greater variety of approved uses in urban medium as opposed to urban low?
Yeah.
Yes, urban low is 5 to 9 dwelling units an acre, 14 dwelling units an acre if you're doing attached housing in that zone. Urban medium is 10 to 30 dwelling units an acre.
No, I'm just wondering, are there commercial applications in one that aren't in the other?
Urban low does not have many outside of family daycares and that type of thing. Urban medium does allow some additional, including some potential mini storage, some other types of uses. But again, they have to be associated with a multifamily complex.
Commissioner Murphy?
Oops, sorry.
No, I'm good. Okay.
All right. So, oops, I don't have anything left here. We already talked about that. So let me get out of this and let what we have in the next two rows is we have continued to refine our capital facilities information. Again, like I mentioned before, this isn't just county facilities. This is special purpose districts, school districts, fire districts. We are refining both the facility needs as well as the costs related to some of these special purpose districts. What you're seeing here is some additional materials we'll be providing you on the 15th. They do not lead to any changes in zoning. They just further reinforce that the current zoning that is included in the preferred alternative, the housing, population, employment projections can be accommodated by the special purpose district. I think largely what you're looking at here is there is some additional transportation-related projects, transportation revenue, but then there is also some additional sewer mapping coming from the city of Bremerton to provide some greater clarity on exactly how sewer would be provided and how much it would cost. And then lastly, on the table, what we have is there has been testimony related to the Port Gamble Heritage Park framework. This is a planning process that was conducted during the COVID era that was taking a look and seeing what could be developed in the Port Gamble Forest Heritage Park in the way of trails as well as additional recreation and education opportunities. A vast majority of that framework focused the property on passive recreation and conservation. However, when you're developing trails, especially a non-motorized facility like the Sound to Olympics Trail, which is it proposed to traverse the trail, now we're talking about a 14-foot paved surface, a 10 to 12-foot paved surface in many ways, there is a potential impact on wildlife that has not yet been calculated in the framework. What the comment has been concerned about is that we are going to adopt the framework in some way with the comprehensive plan. We have not done that in this document. We have instead proposed a strategy that before any new major projects are taken on in the park, we will conduct a wildlife assessment as well as additional environmental review to make sure we captured all of the wetlands for a better environmental view before we take on these additional projects. Again, this is not approving that plan. That plan may be approved with the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space plan, or even may be approved after that, depending on when those assessments would be completed. So our response to that comment is we do have a strategy that has been put in place to, again, hopefully address the environmental and wildlife concerns of additional development in that 3,500-acre park. I always do highlight when we're talking about the Port Gamble Forest Heritage Park is it is in many ways 8 times larger than any other park in the county. So when you're talking about, and actually it's the largest locally owned park in the state. So when you're talking about trails and other amenities, you can't look at it like you're looking at the North Kitsap Heritage Park or the Newberry Hill Heritage Park. Those are much smaller areas. A certain mileage of trails in Newberry Hill are going to have a greater impact on conservation than the same number of trails in a 3,500-acre park. That's neither here nor there, but I just love saying it. That's all that I have on the table, which then turns me back to the planning commissioners for things that I have missed, things you have seen in the documents that you would like greater conversation on, or greater changes to be considered when we come on the 15th.
Eric, the only other thing I had is we had a comment that came in on cable lift and cable lift definitions. Apparently, shoreline cable lifts are being reviewed under the TRAM section of the code, according to this comment that we had. I frankly, I think it makes a lot of sense to take a look at reviewing these cable lifts differently than we do a tram. Much bigger impact than the cable lift. But my thought would be that would be more appropriately done under a general review of code, like we try to do the code update mm-hmm. a couple of years ago, and that would seem to fit that better than the comprehensive plan change. Is that?
Yeah, I think it also has some other implications to some other codes, so it would be better to look at them in conjunction with those others. Also, it is relatively new, it is new. It's not something we have been discussing to date. But, yeah, we could definitely put more focus on that question based upon that comment.
Okay. Do we have any other topics we would like to address this evening? Commissioner Beam?
No? Just a general question. I don't know if this is outside tonight's purview. If it is, please say so. The PERC program or any sort of kind of update, I referred earlier to concern about, mm-hmm. Staff bandwidth, right? Is there anything that can be said publicly about where we are beyond the interim and replacement of critical staff as you try to complete some of this in the next 18 months?
The process is moving along quite well. Again, we appreciated the members of the community who came and participated in the, I won't call it a Kaizen, but it is a group discussion of exactly how to achieve certain goals. We have established the number of additional staff we may need for that, and I believe that is being considered in the 2025 budget. We are making substantial progress on that. The new 5290 requirements for permit processing kick in January. That obviously we're going to have a phased rollout of the prep process, and I do have the expectation that we are going to be up and running quite quickly with that. I am not a positive person, as I think you may have expected, but I do feel very positive that this is moving forward at an excellent speed and is going to be substantially beneficial in our permit processing speeds.
Okay.
Could I ask, knowing that it'll be postponed or tabled for an opportunity when everyone comes up for air, that there is, I guess for the sake of the public and the recording, some sort of a briefing on 5290 and its implications and your implementation of the third-party PERC report?
I'll definitely bring that to the Department of Community Development. I think we have some openings coming up between the conclusion of this process and the Parks Recreation Open Space Plan may be coming before you. I can't say that for certain, but there might be a space in between.
Great. Yeah, if you could throw that in a hole out there somewhere, that'd be great.
Okay. We will close our deliberations for tonight to be picked up at our next meeting. And that brings us to our final general public comment period. And I have someone listing as iPhone.
Sorry about that. I guess I'm Mr. iPhone. My name is Michael. Generation X. I'm still learning how to do this stuff. Apologize.
No problem.
So I don't know how many other the neighbors logged on tonight. Hopefully it wasn't just me, but I just wanted to reiterate the concerns against Northwest. The concerns with Northwest Anderson Hill Road and the shortfall on doing the Northwest Anderson Hill Corridor Safety Study that was supposed to have partake back in 2020, and then again in 2023, and now been postponed to 2026, that they have permits going for these two permits now for building apartment complexes and adding new vehicles to this portion of the road. And my concern isn't so much of them building them rather than doing the safety study to try and make sure that we're building smart infrastructure moving forward. So I wanted to bring that highlight. Hopefully you guys take that into consideration. I think Mr. Baker will be at the Central Kitsap City Council meeting tomorrow night. But thank you very much for your time. I know there's some emails that you guys already have with this issue, and I yield back. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Can I ask, was your name, was it Mike Garrett?
Michael Korsness.
Korsness, thank you.
Yeah, I was on your thing last week.
Got it.
As well.
Okay. All right. And we have Beth Nichols and Doug Heyman.
Good evening, Planning Commission, and it's Beth Nichols. I live in Indianola, and Doug will not be speaking tonight. I just want to say I really appreciate the discussion of working with the tree canopy regulations now. I know it was split, but I really want to echo the comments of Commissioner Smith. That was really great. I very much appreciate hearing the concern about tree canopy. These requirements are not radical or drastic. We really do need to consider more than just number of housing units so we can move forward with a community that is livable, healthy, and maintaining the character of our beautiful Kitsap County. We really need balance and focus on environmental concerns as well as the need for housing. Once the big trees are gone, they will not grow back for decades. We need the benefits of big trees now for climate resilience, for other creatures, and for human well-being. Please do the work now of including the tree canopy regulations. I know it's a lot, but I think it really needs to be focused on now. So thank you so much for taking my comment.
Thank you for your comment. And I do not see anyone else wishing to speak, so I will close this period. And for the good of the order, Commissioner comments. I think we've pretty well discussed our issues this evening. So, if there are no objections, I will close this evening's meeting. And hearing none, we are adjourned until next, what is it, 15th?
The 15th.
15th. All right. Good night.
Thank you, everyone.